So Sri Aurobindo says that the complete victory would be that you should be first of all an animal body, a body which has locomotion, also a body which has a mind, which normally disables the body in many ways. So mind supporting animal body, and that kind of body to be immortal, in which life remains planted all the time in the body, in the physical. If you can achieve this, then you can say now nature has created an instrument in which all the problems of contradictions are resolved. Till that time, contradictions are not yet resolved. As long as body dies, the accordance of life in matter is not complete. It is only a temporary accord. There is no secret yet by which life and matter can be completely reconciled. So Sri Aurobindo says, nature is still striving. Do not worry, it will not happen. First step is taken already. This is only a proof that something can be done. Now don't say that this thing is impossible, which we are already trying to do. The moment we say there is a bigger problem, we always put down our hands right from the beginning and say it's impossible. That cannot be done. Sri Aurobindo, in one of the chapters, which is a very interesting chapter, where Sri Aurobindo says, if there are a witness but uninstructed, were to watch the world at the very beginning, he would have said, appearance of even a small little bubble, a little germ in water, if you had to say that there will be some stir in the water and a germ moving about, if you had to predict, you as a witness would have said, oh, it's impossible. How can there be a bubble like this with a germ constantly moving about by itself, self-propelled? Impossible. Even if you see this, you say, oh, all right, maybe something has happened. You might grant at least that this has happened, so you can't now refuse it. But then if you say that this little germ will become a big locomotion in a very big way, an elephant will come or a lion will come, we would say, oh, it's impossible. How can this little thing ever grow into an elephant or a lion? Impossible. And then if you say that here there will come about a human being who will think, who will observe, you will laugh it out. But then if you are told that he will be able to measure, not only think, he'll be able to measure the world, he'll be able to speculate, he will discuss the law of contradiction in a class one day, that he will even write poetry, and a complex kind of poetry like Savitri. He will philosophize, he will become mystic, he will see the invisible, hear the inaudible. If you were to say this, we would have simply laughed it out. Not only we said, now please stop this dream, it is impossible. Now today, if we are now told that really there will be a human being which will be a superman, all people around say, oh, it's impossible. Even today, as I read out to you, acute minds like Russell says, we refuse to believe that there are other higher ways of knowing. Same argument, it is the same argument. The contrast between the realized fact and unrealized ideal. The contradiction between the two shows that the unrealized ideal is invalid. This argument is now brought to its own ridiculous condition by rendering these facts before us. So the first one is the accordance of active life. I am repeating now. The accordance of active life with a material of form in which the condition of activity itself seems to be inertia, is one problem of opposites that nature has solved and seeks always to solve better with greater complexities. For its perfect solution would be the material immortality of a fully organized, mind-supporting animal body. That will be the complete solution of the problem. Now there is another problem which nature has already solved. This is what now Sri Aurobindo describes. What is the second problem of opposites that nature has solved? The accordance of conscious mind and conscious will with a form and a life in themselves not overtly self-conscious and capable at best of a mechanical or subconscious will is another problem of opposites in which she has produced astonishing results and aims at higher marvels. Now you see the opposites. Accordance of mind in life. We are all mental beings, so for us it's a very easy thing to understand. Now what is the opposition between life and mind? Mind is conscious. There is a conscious perception, conscious thought, and a conscious will. These are the things which even a small child possesses. Even a child perceives and decides whether to react favorably or unfavorably. If the child is given the kind of food that it expects, it wills to accept it. If it finds that this is only a trick and you are not going to give the food that it wants, then it decides to refuse you. So even at the most elementary level, there is a conscious will, conscious thought and conscious will. But life, by its nature, the life that we find in plants, even the life that we possess in our body, is not self-conscious. At least not overtly self-conscious. There's a difference between subconscious or unconscious will and conscious will. You will know that most of the activities of the human body which are organic, they occur without any consciousness. And yet, they appear to be conscious in some way. It's a kind of a miracle. If you have a wound, our doctor will tell us, as soon as there's a wound, the white corpuscles rush up automatically. It wants to protect immediately the wound, and the healing process starts immediately. It's automatic. Most of the operations of a body are automatic. Therefore, life basically is unconscious. In that life movement, there is a conscious mind. Planting of conscious mind in an unconscious life force is a problem of opposites. How to plant conscious mind in an unconscious life force And this is a big problem of human beings. We are constantly in a war between the unconscious of life force and the conscious mind. Sometimes good doctors tell you, allow your body to work itself out, don't interfere by your mind. Sometimes when you are not well, the doctor says, allow your body the real quietude, don't allow your mind to work, conscious mind, allow the life force to work itself out. Sometimes you are also injected with some kind of medicine which will make you sleep, so mind is at rest. And then unconscious mind, unconscious will force, life force works itself out. So very often our main problem is unconscious life and conscious mind and the war between the two. Now this war is to a great extent healed, resolved by nature. So that even when we are conscious, our body also goes on functioning quite well. All normal, healthy human beings, there is a constant harmony between unconscious life force and the conscious mind. This is one problem of opposites which nature has already accomplished. How to put together unconscious life force and conscious mind working together, and both working harmoniously. This is one marvel. Sri Aurobindo says, many marvels have been manifested when these two things happen together. A small child beginning to learn a language and uttering the first clear words is a matter of delight to everybody, not only to the mothers, but to everybody. It's a great marvel. A language is a manifestation of consciousness, some kind of degree of consciousness, not the highest degree, but some kind of degree of consciousness, even self-consciousness. So this accordance of the capacity to speak a language in present day, there are many great thinkers who are specializing in the study of languages. The whole study of linguistics, as it is called, has become very prominent because people are marveling, what is language? How do we understand a language? When a child identifies the word ma with the woman beside her, the child identifies the word ma and that woman, there is a kind of identification. The law of identity begins to operate. How does it happen? The child applies the law of identity, the word, this sound, and that object. How the two get correlated in the mind, and then it becomes automatic and so fast. After 1 month, the child speaks so many sentences. It's a great marvel. This is only the smallest marvel, and then many more marvels take place as soon as the children begin to grow up. Now even this is not a complete story. Sri Aurobindo says even greater complexities and greater achievements are still in the view. Sri Aurobindo says, for there her ultimate miracle would be an animal consciousness no longer seeking but possessed of truth and light with the practical omnipotence which would result from the possession of a direct and perfected knowledge. Now, each word is a very important word, and you see the description of a capacity that is demanded. Let us see each one of them. Our animal consciousness, even human consciousness, even the highest consciousness of the mind, has one great limitation. It has to make an effort to seek knowledge. Of course, there are certain things regarding which you don't need to seek. You open your eyes, and what is presented to you is known immediately. You don't seek. You just need to open your eyes. But still, opening eyes is an effort. Even there is a seeking. You are listening to a music which is coming from far, automatic. You don't have to seek to hear it. But you ask a deaf man whether he can do it or not. It is very difficult for him to hear. So there is an effort to be made. In any case, it is true that all human beings are required to make a great effort to understand ideas. You don't understand ideas automatically. You have to make a great effort to understand ideas. There is a seeking. You go higher and higher, greater and greater effort is needed. The modern subjects of study have become so complex, you require 50, 60 years only to get elementary notion of things in that subject. Today's subjects are so vast that if you want to enter into any subject, you have to be ready for 50, 60 years. So don't be tired at all, because our seeking has become so difficult, so wide, so complex. When Mother has said that to understand the life divine, you take 10 years training first to begin, it's absolutely true. And 10 years is quite limited time, actually. It's quite fast, as we are doing in galloping speed now. If you do a super school and do study of life divine, it will take 10 years. But therefore, don't close it. The gain is that you will live in knowledge. And then, even then, whatever knowledge you gain, with great effort you have to retain it. How easy it is to forget. You remember certain things, and then as you grow more and more, you find how difficult it is to retain knowledge. So even first of all, you seek the knowledge, then you gain the knowledge, and then afterwards you have to make a great effort to retain it. In the meantime, new knowledge has come into the picture. So you have to rush towards that new knowledge, and again integrate that knowledge with the old knowledge. And there are many problems of integration. To unlearn what you learned earlier and to learn new things is another. These are the difficulties that our human consciousness faces today.